Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and hold to the three commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us, which sum up everything in the scriptures, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation, that all who would believe would be saved. And to that we turn our hearts every day of our lives as the Heart of Christ Church, because that's what he taught us to do. That's who he is, not was, is. And in that we have our being. Today, I'd like you to turn to the shortest book in the Bible. I'm going to be preaching for the next 3 weeks on the shortest books in the Bible. This book is John 3, okay, it's 3 John, and it's one chapter, and in its entirety, in its original language, it is 219 words. No, I mean 3 John. That's quite all right, sis. That's quite all right. When I went to Bible college, you would walk into the men's bathroom, and there were a row of facilities to use. And painted over them, and this was kind of funny, painted over them was 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation, because Revelation had no door. And I thought it was kind of unique, and they left it there for the entire year that year. Of course, over the summer, they fixed everything and put the door back on and all that left. But the students who put that up thought it was quite cute, and so did the administration, actually. So they left it there for a full year. And I'll never forget that. So every time I think of the three Johns, I remember that in my brain. What a picture to remember, amen? Ay, ay, ay. But this is what I'm going to be doing. I am going to be looking at, you know, because we think about this, 219 words. 219 words. Why did they choose 3 John to put it in the scriptures, to make part of the canon? It's so small. It's so short. You know, it's like writing on the back of a postcard, okay? But it was that important that they determined this is scripture. This is God-breathed. Because it is congruent with all of Scripture. It is, again, the teaching of the Lord. For we know the Word is Jesus Christ. And this Word is part of that very truth. And I want you to understand, this is a whole book, 219 words. And how important are they? Because I want you to see the reflect in your lives as to how important every word of the scripture is unto you. And this is a very simple one. I've entitled it Short and Simple, Walk in the Truth. Because that's exactly what's being talked about here. And in this day, this is an important word for each and every one of us to understand there is a lie out there that can truly hurt the church. And we're going to see that in regard right here, because 3 John is written to the church. Thus saith the word of the Lord from 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Gonna hold there. As we look at what John here is giving to Gaius, looking at this brother in Christ, he is literally giving him accolades for the fact that there is a witness about him. as to the truth and the fact that he is walking in that truth. Now, I want all of us to understand this is something that we need to look at in our own lives. When our world sees us, does our world see us as walking as the world, or does the world see us as walking as a Christian? Is there a difference between us and the world, and does it give reflection of Jesus Christ? Because that is to walk in truth. Jesus is truth. Can I get an amen? Okay. I'm wearing the shirt today. And I'm going to ask you for a couple of them. Because we are the church. And God has given us this reality that when we are walking, people are looking. And there's a report being given. How many of you realize you're still in school and there's a report card? Life is nothing but school from the time we are born until the time we die. And praise God, he doesn't grade on a curve, he grades on the cross. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because if he graded on the curb, we'd all be thrown to it. Because that's where we deserve to be, for we are sinners. But we have been saved by grace, for we have believed in the truth, the Son of God, our Savior, our God himself, Jesus Christ. And as we walk in that truth, does our life show it? Will people see that truth as they are looking at you? Are they going to say that they have no greater joy than to see and know this testimony about you? Now, I think it's funny because there are people that we are going to be around, and we need to understand this, who they are looking to see when we fall because that's their joy. But the church's joy, our joy one to another, is encouraging one another as we see each other walking in the truth. Because I'm going to ask you all a question. How easy is it to walk in the truth? How easy is it to get up every day and be happy? How easy is it to be a bundle of joy in every moment? It's not easy, is it? I had to chuckle. You all know one of my worst places that you know, I lose it, my Christianity goes out the window, is when I'm behind the wheel. Well, the other day on the way down to my son's house, I didn't lose mine. Lynn lost hers. I'm telling on my wife. Did you see that look she gave me? What? We had a guy cut us off, and I heard words come out of my wife's mouth that I ain't never heard. And I was like, she's human. I will tell you, it was a close call, and it scared me. But we all have to watch what we do and what we say, okay? We all have to understand, whether we think it or not, we have a witness. And people are watching, okay? Now, praise God, Pastor was in the car with her, and I prayed over her and re-sanctified her, okay? Oh, is that right? Yeah. I'll tell you, it is so easy to get caught in this world, isn't it?
Did you pray for the offensive driver?
I actually did. Yes, we did. Both of us did. Because that was bad. And from the fourth lane, we're up in Harrisburg, from the fourth lane over, he went over into the exit lane. At 90 miles an hour, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, there were centimeters between us. How about it? I almost wanted to throw my hands in the air and say, Jesus, take the wheel, but I didn't. But again, what does it take for us to lose that witness? It doesn't take much. It really doesn't, because we are sinners saved by grace. But when we do, it's so important that we come right back. It is so important that we come right back. Because if we don't, we can take that thing down the road quite a ways. And it will begin to steer you into other places. You know, I have to tell on myself. I told on my wife. Now I have to tell on me. You know, the other day I had a bad day. I rolled a box of bees right out of the back of my truck. Okay? It was coming from one of my apiaries. They were sold. I was taking them to somebody else. And Pastor was stupid. He forgot to shut the back of the truck, Wayne. I made a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn onto 22. And as I'm making the left-hand turn on the 22, I always look in the rearview mirror, and all of a sudden I see this box rolling and stuff flying, and I'm like, oh, no. Do you think I was happy? No, I wasn't happy. And the only witness was me and God. And it was so funny because I'm driving down because I got to go down, turn around, come back, clean up this mess, which I knew they were completely gone, you know. But on my way, I just told Pastor David this. On my way, the Lord spoke in my spirit because I'm grumbling. How many of you grumble? Does anybody here grumble? Am I the only one that grumbles? Come on now. I'm grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. And my spirit, the Lord spoke in my spirit, and he said, do you believe what you preach? And I was just like, yes. And instantly, he brought back the last three sermons I preached to you. Every word. It was like they were right there in front of me. And I was like, oh my gosh. What am I doing? I just told you all not to do this stuff. And what's the preacher doing? And then I started laughing, and I started praising God. And, you know, that's $185 gone. And I'm like, you know, whatever. God, you take care of it all. I did something stupid. Wasn't anybody else. Who was it? You're allowed to say that. Who was it? Who was it? Not you. I want you to say me. I want you to say it was me. Because how many of us are the me? You getting it? You getting what I'm putting down? And it was so amazing. Because then I just started praising the Lord and laughing at myself. And I said, Lord, I said, sometimes I don't know if you're up there and you're disgusted with us or if you're laughing at us. And he literally spoke in my spirit and said, a little bit of both. A little bit of both. And isn't that what Jesus said to the men in the boat? They're out there in the boat and the storm is gone. And they're like, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. Won't you get up? Oh my heavens, save us, save us. And he says to them, ye of little faith. What's he saying? Don't you believe what you believe is real is really real? When are you going to turn to me? When are you going to remember I'm here for you? Walk in this truth. Bad stuff is going to come. Don't lose your truth because something stupid happens. We live in the enemy's territory. Do you understand that? This is his place for now. But we're going to get it back. Can I get an amen out of the church? And in that day, there will be no more evil in this place for a period of time. And are we going to be able to walk in the truth with the truth here with us and not have any excuses? Man, I pray so. This is what this life is all about. It's learning to walk in that truth, hold to that truth, and show that witness all the time. How well are you doing? Grade yourself on that. Because I had to grade myself this past week, and I had to laugh because I knew where I was preaching, and I had to grade my wife on that. Because we all need what? Grace. Can I get an amen? And that grace is there not for us to fall back on and say, oh, well, now I can do it again. No, now we need to do better. Now we need to walk a little bit stronger, a little bit closer, okay? We all know we're going to fall again. But God says, now walk a little bit closer. And he says, and believe me, You know, when the others come, send them out in good report. Isn't that what he just said there? And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. You and I need to understand there are going to be people who are going to come into our lives who are going to need a little bit of encouragement. That's why I tattled on my wife, because I want to encourage her. She's human. She's going to fail. But through this all and through everything, we can get better. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because that's how we get better. We don't hold it down against one another. So 2 years from now, when she's telling me about something, I say, well, do you remember when? No, we don't play that game. That's gone. We're dealing with a new day. This day has enough to deal with. Amen. So let us deal with the day that we have and the day that we are in. And as the opportunities come that you can encourage another person, encourage them, send them on in the good hope that we have of walking in the truth with Jesus Christ. Send them on, giving them gifts of grace and mercy and hope and prosperity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by that, I'm not talking about the Joe Osteen prosperity. I'm talking about the true prosperity, which is life eternal. Can I get an amen? Because in that we know we have something far beyond this world, far beyond any riches, because I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm taking anything out of here when I go with me. When I go with me, nothing here will go with me, is what I wanted to say. It all stays behind. My kids get it. I'm going to be like my grandpa. Don't expect anything. I'm going to spend it all before I go. But in that, I want to spend it in such a way that it blesses as many people as possible, because that's a life well lived. I'm not going to let anything undone. How many of us can live a life like that? How many times has somebody died and we say, oh, if only? I want to live my life, and I want you to think about this. I want to live my life in such a way towards others that when I go, I can look at my Lord and say, did I miss anything? And he can say to me, and I know it's not going to happen, but I want it to be. He's going to say, nope, you did it all. And you did it well. Now, I know I'm human. I'm going to miss some stuff. But that's my desire, that when I get there, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that's where I want to live. That's the place I want to stay. But we are here, so we need to continue on understanding that this world is the contention. This world is the place where we as Christ, as Christians living in Christ, are going to have to work this out. So he continues on from verse 7. He says, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. You and I need to understand, you know, we just had the EA, and I think this is so appropriate, and I know, you know, a lot of us don't think the way Pastor thinks, and praise God for it, because if you did, you'd be one messed up group of people. But as I look at, you know, and I think to myself, we just had the EA convocation. We just sent a whole bunch of people out from here, didn't we? We sent them out from here worshiping the Lord. We sent them out here educated in the things that are pertinent to our day and our time. And the workshops that we had, the fellowship we had, the meals that we had. You know, how many of you who were here were blessed for being here that day? It was a blessing. It really was. We poured out. We received something. I don't know how that works. When you pour out, you get something back. Normally, when you pour out water from a pitcher, what happens? It comes up empty. But when we're done as Christians, we're filled back up again. Amen. Praise the Lord. And these people that leave, they're filled up. I'm still getting emails from folks saying, what a wonderful time. You know, I'm hoping somebody takes it for next year, et cetera, et cetera. I've gotten 4 emails from other folks over the last week. And it's encouraging to me because that tells me that they went out. And we also, you know, I think about this. We support our missions, okay? The Gideons, taking Bibles out. We support FIA, going out and drilling water wells and bringing youth Bible studies and starting churches and educating pastors. With ICII in India, we're educating pastors. We're reaching the indigenous people through indigenous pastors, getting them raised up, supporting them, because it's easier for them to go into their communities than it is for a white man to come in, because we would be rejected. So we are doing this work, and this work is not just out there in the world, but it's also right here through LCCM, through the rescue mission, through the Joy Food Pantry, all the things that we do. That is exactly what God tells us that we need to do, going out so that there is a good report, that these who are out there are doing that work. Remember, we don't have to do all the work, but when we see someone doing the work, we support those people. They become a wheel on our bus, okay? They help us be a better church because we are connecting with our community and understanding that it goes beyond us because it takes a community. Can I get an amen? Isn't it amazing, these old things that we were told when we were younger that are now being forgotten and put under sunder, are the truth. How do you grow a community? With a community. You can't grow a community outside of it. Everybody in Glen Rock knew my name. And if they didn't know my name, they knew my grandpa. Don't ask me how that works. They would look at me and say, "You're one of Russell Sigmund's kids, aren't you?" And I'd be like, "Oh, no." Because when they pulled the Russell Sigmund card, I was in trouble. Anybody else been there? How many people, when you grew up in the neighborhood you grew up in, knew you, knew your grandparents, knew your mom and dad? Today, how many of us know our neighbors? Like John, he's sitting there going, "Yeah, no." And that's, isn't it terrible? We don't know our neighbors. Why? Because everybody is disassociated. Everybody wants to run in their own direction. Nobody wants that connectivity because I don't want you to be too friendly to me. What's up with that? Well, I got all the friends I need, and then they're on Facebook with 500 friends. How many of them do they really know? I want you to think about this. In your congregation, how many people in this congregation do you really know? How many people's homes have you been in? How many lives have you touched? And how well do we really know one another? Because that's the life God wants us to live, that we are literally affecting people and sending them out with the support that they need to continue the work of truth. You know, we look at this and we think, "Yeah, but Pastor, that's talking about mission support that they're giving." Folks, it breaks down to some very simple realities. A word of encouragement is sending a brother or sister forward with what they need to continue on. Can I get an amen? That's a truth. You know, I think of this book, 219 words. I've been preaching on it now for 25 minutes. And I'm not halfway done. How much truth is there here? How much deeper is this word? Well, rather than plumbing that any further, we're going to move on, or we'll be here for the next 24 hours. He says to us from verse 9, "I wrote something to the church, but Diophetus, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this. He himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not seen, has not seen God. This is a word to the church, about the church and how the church is operating. I want you to think about what that directly correlates to in our world today. How many churches take this word, the word of truth, and adulterate it to make it say what they want it to say rather than submitting themselves to the truth? And that is exactly what was going on here. This brother was not willing to accept the truth because, remember, they were writing the scriptures. They had no idea they were writing the scriptures. In the letters that they were writing, they were literally penning through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the Bible, which you and I now hold in our hands. It was the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. And how are we treating it? How is the church responding? Are we putting people out who believe the word? Or are we simply giving lip service to what the word actually says? And that's what I want us to remember. There are many churches out there who are simply giving lip service to the word. They are not following the word. They will not follow the word. They want nothing to do with the churches that do follow the word. And I think it's amazing because there are churches that follow the word that don't want anything to do with these other churches as well. I try not to be one of those because I want them to repent and turn from their evil way and walk anew in the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because that is what we were. We were sinners. And how many sinners are in the church? Right now, I'd say there's 50. With me, it makes 51. But we understand that. Can I get an amen? And we submit ourselves to this word. And we walk in this word as best we are able. Now, how many of you still have a long way to go? I'm telling you right now, tomorrow's a new day and you're going to face it. And we're going to see the word of God alive and new each and every day. And that's what I want us to understand. Diophetus here was turning people out because they believed the truth. But he had a message that, and I love how John puts it, he always needs to be what? First. Who comes first? God. Amen, Miss Susan. Amen. God comes first. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always come first. Everything I am, everything I do, I must look to him for. I must submit these things unto him because now I'm walking with a good witness. Do you see how this turns back to the good witness at the beginning? Because as I walk in that good witness, so too others will see it and they will be blessed and I can send them on. Do you see how this all comes back around? If you're living in a church, if you're out there and you're in a church that's dismissing the truth of God, you know, and I think it's so amazing because we see it all the time. We know the truth, we understand the truth, but how many churches out there think there are 96 varieties of human beings? How many varieties of human beings are there? Male and female created he them. Can I get an amen out of the church? That's it. And that's just one topic. But how much does that divide the church? That's just one topic. We need to understand, God does not want us to follow some of the truth. He wants us to follow all of the truth. And it's going to be hard because people are going to come against us and they're going to come against our witness. But we do not give up. We continue to walk and do good and be good. And we need to understand, good does not always feel good. Because the world is evil. This place, we are in a very strange place. Jesus Christ is here with us. Can I get an amen? Not only with us, but he is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to me, that is an awesome reality. But at the same time, we're on enemy territory. The evil one is here, ruling and reigning. His powers and powers and principalities, these are the things that we fight against in our world because they are in control. Now, does that mean they have control over all? Absolutely not. They have taken control of a sinful world, which we have submitted to in our sin. But when we finally get ourselves right with God, we are no longer of this world. We are in it, but we are no longer of it, for we have been reestablished back to the beginning, before the fall, where we have a right relationship and communion with God, and we can walk in that true communion. So today, I want us to remember what it says next. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God." When you and I understand, that is talking about us doing that which is right, and there are going to be people who come against us, we still need to continue walking. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. That is the report that each and every one of us want to see, that the word itself testifies to our life, that we are in alignment with him. And through that, others will see it, and the word itself will testify. You and I don't have to be anything but Christian. What does that mean, Pastor? That means be who you are in Christ. How many of you are perfect? Not one hand in the air. How many of you are broken? Every hand in the air. Be that broken person. Walk in the things you know of God. And when you falter, don't be ashamed to admit you faltered. All right? I tattle on myself all the time. And my poor loving wife, she gets tattled on too because she's married to me. But I'm going to tell you right now, the world's tattling on all of us because the world sees us. But what is the story that we really want the world to tell? Do we want the good report? Do we want the approval of our Lord? And do we want the word to be who we are? And that's how he began, to the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love, what? In truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ. And he is the word. As we live the word, we'll become the word. We're going to be changed over time. And we'll change our world. Short and simple. 219 words. 219 words. The last of it from verses 13 through 15. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be with you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I love the way this ends, because John here is giving me something that I want each and every one of us to have. We need to be involved in somebody's life. We need to get personal with them. What does he say? I want to come see you. I want to hug your neck. I want to talk to you. I want us to engage. What's our world missing today? Our world is missing that engagement. That's why we don't know our neighbors. I think it's amazing. You know, I talk to my neighbors. And they hate it. I mean, I have to be honest. They hate it, okay? I walk up to the fence, and I'll say, "Hey, how's it going?" And they're like, "Great." And phew, there's no extended conversation, okay? It is what it is. But I try to engage. Why? Because that's what I'm told to do. That's who I'm supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to be. The world's going to reject us. But we need to engage one-on-one. And I think it's amazing because you get opportunities. You know, and Pastor David knows what I'm talking about here. You get opportunities. The question is, are you going to take those opportunities, okay? And I can remember Pastor Dave and I having a conversation. He says to me one day, he said, you know, Amy wonders. He said, how did you say that? Amy hates to go to Walmart with me because he'll just start talking to random strangers in the store. How can you do that? How can you not? I do it all the time. Somebody's standing in your way and you're waiting for them to move, strike a conversation. Good morning, how are you doing? Just had a gentleman walk through the parking lot, okay? I could have totally ignored him. What would that have said about me? I looked right at him. How are you doing this morning? Okay. He keeps on walking. Hey, you know, that's all the engagement he wanted. But guess what? The pastor of the church just spoke to the guy. Maybe he'll come back and I'll get to get a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And who knows? Maybe over time he'll come to know the Lord. You won't know if you don't open your mouth. Can I get an amen? You got to engage. Be involved. Get involved. Hold to the truth. Walk in the truth. Let the truth shine through you. Yes, we're going to screw up. Yes, we're going to be a mess. We already are. But the more we walk in it and the more we apply the word to ourselves, the more the world will see that word and the more they're going to understand. I don't have to be perfect, do I? How many of you can say amen to that? I don't have to be perfect. My Savior is. And it's in him that I have my being. He saves me. I don't save me. But may I be active in that salvation. May I walk in truth. Pray with me this day. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. Because you truly tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it. Lord, we just have to start. And many of us are. I don't want anybody here, Lord, to think I'm coming against them. I want to encourage them because the world will come against them. I want to encourage them that what they are doing, just as you started here with Gaius, keep going. You're doing good. Don't stop because it's the witness of Christ in you that you may show others the way to salvation. And Lord, we thank you that you use fools such as we. And we pray that all who would see us, all who would engage, may come to know you, the truth, who is Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.